Well, the Lord put on my heart years, you know, a few months ago, that beginning of the first of the year, that we were going to turn Wednesday night into healing, you know, just healing, just go after healing. And one of the words that He spoke into my heart was to contend for healing. And to contend means that we're going to go after it. We're not going to stop until we get it. And because I just believe that God wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those who love Him, right? And not just that, Jesus wants to be strong in the community. And part of the reason, or the part of the way that that happens, is when we show off Jesus. Come on, we show Him off for who He is and what He's done. Come on, it's so good. It's so good. One of the things that we're doing is we're going through the healings or the miracles in the life of Jesus. Why are we doing that? Well, I'll tell you, this isn't in my notes and He won't have it up there, but on, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote all about Jesus, all that Jesus began to do and to teach." And this was Luke. So he's the author of the Gospel of Luke. And he said, "I wrote the Gospel, but I want you to get this, that Jesus, all that Jesus began," everybody say began, "to do and to teach." It didn't say, "I wrote everything that Jesus finished teaching and doing." He said He began. If He began, then He's still doing. Come on. If he began it and it isn't finished, then He's still doing it. Now in the Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about He's the head and we're the body. Are you with me? And so how is He still doing it if He's in heaven and we're on earth? He's doing it through us. So what I want to put in your heart, and part of the reason that we're doing and have the format that we're feel like God's put on our hearts, is because this isn't about you coming here necessarily and whoever's preaching that night, or, you know, that the anointing is upon, is going to be responsible for seeing that you're healed. The idea is I'm going to show you that you're the part of the body of Christ. And the same body that was doing the work back then can do it now. Are you with me? And is doing it. But I want you to get the picture. We're going to see it clearly tonight, I think. That you, inside of you, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, the same power, we just sang about it, that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And I believe what the Spirit of God wants to do is to get it out. Get it out of you onto somebody else, because He wants to show the world that Jesus isn't just another leader of a religion somewhere. He's not just another person in, you know, a story of some kind. Jesus is alive. He's living tonight. And He's living tonight here. Sometimes we say, "Boy, I want the glory of God to come into the room." Well, He did when you came in. Right? He did when we came in. If I'm saved, if I've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me, then wherever I go, the glory of God is there. And it's not about me, it's about what He did in me. And so all of us in this room are conduits of the power of God. Oh, glory to God. But tonight I want to talk to you about Peter's mother-in-law. Yeah. Right, Peter's mother-in-law. That's great. So awesome. If you go with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 29. It says, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, Excuse me. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Amen. So we're going to go into this in depth, but what I want you to do is to begin to picture yourself in the room. Why do I want that? Because if we can see and see Jesus demonstrating, and if Jesus demonstrated in such a way, then we ought to be acting the same way.
Come on. Yeah.
People say, well, I want to act like Jesus. I want to walk. I do too. But part of that is doing what he did.
Yeah.
I believe he wants his body to continue to do what he did. And for me, part of my motivation for contending for your healing and for the healing of people that I love and know is that I don't think that I've represented him to the full potential of my ability to.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, and this is what I always gauge it by. You know, we used to wear wrist bands. What would Jesus do? Well, I know what he'd do.
Yeah.
If he came in the room, I know what he'd do because it's written and we see pictures of what he'd do.
Right.
And if he would do it then,
he'll
do it now. That's the premise and that's what we're going for. That's what we're contending for. But look again in verse 29. As soon as they had come out of the synagogue, in other words, they were in church. Just imagine Sunday afternoon, well, this would have been Saturday, but they were in church. And Jesus had just driven out, you know, demon possessed, and people were just thrilled and excited about the meeting, excited about what God had done. And we've all been in those kind of meetings. But afterwards, they did what we always do, is they went to lunch. Think about this for a minute. They went to lunch. And I've seen this and done a little bit of study in this. The synagogue and Peter's house weren't that far apart. So they came out of the door and went into his house, right? And so his mother-in-law was sick. And in other places, in Luke, it said that she had a high fever. And Luke would have went into more detail about the fever because he was a doctor, right? But a high fever. And they told Jesus about it. And when Jesus was told about it, he did something about it immediately. But here's what I want to point out to you. It's really interesting to me that the person who was sick had nothing to do with any of the events that happened in this story. And so it wasn't... And there are other places in the Bible, we're going to read them, of course. It's a daughter, your faith has made you whole.
Mm-hmm.
Or be healed because your faith, over and over, your faith has made you whole. But in this story, it had nothing to do with her faith.
Right.
What was she doing? She was laying sick. I mean, she was sick. A fever that she couldn't get out of bed because she was so sick. That was her condition. And watch this. I love this. Somebody else told Jesus about her condition. So can we tell Jesus about other people's condition and expect him to do something about it? Right? And so even in our prayer time, right, we need to be in a position where, you know, I'm coming to you with Susie's condition over here. And not based on an arrogant plea from my part, but based on your word and an expectation based out of your word. I know if you were here, you'd do something about it, just like you did to Peter's mother-in-law.
Amen.
See, it should elevate our expectancy when we bring people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
We have to be in this place where we understand. You know, Jesus went around. It was really amazing. But he said that I only do the things that my Father tells me to do. I only say the things. I wish I could say that. That's not always the case, right? But I will tell you this. that the more time that I spend with Him, the more time I spend praying in the Spirit, the more time I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is wanting to use me and speak to me, I put myself in a position to do what He wants me to do because I'm hearing what He's saying. You know, there's like 27 recorded miracles and healings and things that went on. But you know that Jesus never did anything the same way.
Right.
You know, He didn't come into the room and go, let's see, the manual says somebody's sick, they're lying dead, so you have to do this step, and this step, and this step. No, He heard what the Spirit of God was saying to Him, and He did it. What am I saying? As the Spirit of God begins to use us, we can't have formulas.
That's right, that's good. Yeah.
We have to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Because sometimes He might say do this, and sometimes He might say do that. Right? Did you know that as a believer, when you're ministering to the sick, the Bible never tells you necessarily to pray for them?
Yeah.
It tells you to lay hands on them and heal them. Sometimes we have this big prayer and we're just praying for hours and hours over somebody. And I'm not saying that you can't intercede for somebody, but what I'm saying is sometimes that's nothing more than unbelief. Because you don't believe that God really wants to use you and it's in you to touch that person. What I'm trying to get through to you tonight is that we have to get up to a higher level of understanding that when I walk into the room, not arrogantly, not based on, you know, just who I am in my flesh, but I am a child of the living God who's been filled with the Spirit of God, and God wants to use me to touch somebody else.
Yes, 24.
Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer. So that's true for you tonight. See, here's my vision. My vision is that the word starts spreading. And we're going to see that in a minute. The word starts spreading. And people start coming. Hey, you got a problem? Come on. I'm telling you, come to the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Wednesday night. There's a bunch of people that are praying. And this is happening.
Yeah.
Right? And they come in with an atmosphere, and then each one of us, because we've been believing God and we've been praying and we say, God, use me tonight. Holy Spirit, I'm available for you to use me, right? He can start giving each one of us a different part of it. And you might, you know, there might be some person over here and God is drawn you to them and God gives you something either to say to them or pray for them and they're going to be healed. But I have to get you to the point where you believe that Jesus wants to use you.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
Jesus comes into the room. He came for lunch.
Amen.
He didn't come for another meeting. He came to have lunch.
Amen.
But yet there was a situation. It says again that Simon's mother lay sick with a fever and they told him about her at once. And verse 31. There we go. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up and immediately the fever left her and she served them.
Yeah.
That's just amazing to me. Here she is. Watch this. And it works differently with different times. But here she is. She is down with a fever, can't get out of bed, can't move. He touches her, lifts her up, and she is healed to the point where she didn't have to recuperate.
Yeah.
She didn't have to, well, you know, I'm healed, but I'm still weak. She was immediately made whole.
Yeah.
And she served them. Isn't that awesome? So good. Jesus is so good. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 32. And that evening when the sun had set, they brought him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. At the door where? The door of the house where he went to have lunch.
Right.
But word got out that look at The woman was in bed with a fever that's been going around that people have died from, and immediately she was healed. Come on. I believe God, again, we're not going to win this next generation with our arguments. Right? We're not going to win them by trying to debate them. But I believe that if we'll start displaying or presenting Jesus the same way he presented himself, they're going to come to him. They're not just going to come to him, they're going to flock to him. Amen? It's not about us, it's about him getting all of the glory. Now, why did Jesus operate the way that he did? I'll tell you, there was a couple things that I believe that were happening and that are in us. There's one, is he had the power to do so. And the Bible says, you shall receive power. That's not just dunamis energy, but it's also ability. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then in another place, Jesus said this. He said, all authority has been given to me. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, you therefore go. In other words, the authority that I have, I'm giving to you. In other words, I still have a job to do on the earth. I'm going to be in the heaven as the head, but I want you all to go everywhere preaching the gospel under the authority that I'm giving to you. Right? And remember, his disciples, when they said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. And nothing, come on, nothing shall listen, he's given us that power tonight. Amen. We have that power tonight. But we need to begin to understand that Jesus, when he said, go ye therefore in my name and preach the gospel, he gave us the power of attorney that gives us the actual documented evidence that we are legitimate carriers of the power that comes with the authority. Is that something? It's so cool. Now watch this. This is so good. This is awesome. There's something about the power of attorney, which is what he gave us, is power of attorney. In other words, you have the right to use my name. The power of attorney means that you can speak for me. That you can sign your name for me. But even more than that, listen, get this picture. What it's saying is that because of this document, it's just as if I was there. Watch this. So in reality, what it is if Zach and I said, Zach, I'm going to be out of town. I've got these papers that I need to have signed. I'm going to sign you over the power of attorney. That means that I, in a real way, I'm entering into you to use your hands to sign this document. It'll be just like I was there signing it. Exactly. Are you listening to me? So here's the picture that I want you to get. When we lay hands on the sick, it's our physical hand, but it's Jesus working through us to touch them because he's given us that power of attorney. Start to meditate on it. Think about this. Listen, I'm not praying for somebody in my own ability to pray for them. I'm praying for them under the absolute given authority that he's given to me. Come on. Somebody explained it this way, that authority is like the badge, but the power is like the gun. Right? And you have to have both. You have to have the authority, but you also have to have the gun. But watch this. The authority is what others look at to say that you have the right to use the gun. That's so good. So good. So what I'm saying tonight is this, is that we need to begin to believe and understand that, Lord, when I'm coming in your name and I'm doing according to your word, I'm coming according to your word, that I'm your representative on the earth. And so when I'm praying, I'm believing, Lord, that you're praying through me, that I'm laying, the minute that I'm coming in the name of Jesus and I'm laying hands on in the name of Jesus, it's the same thing as when he picked her up and pulled her off of that bed. See, isn't that, come on, isn't that awesome? Listen, we have to begin to really believe that the same power that Jesus, you know, that rose Jesus from the dead is dwelling on the inside of us. So it's just as he's raised from the dead, the power that I'm operating in this particular life is the power that raised him from the dead. I'm operating according to that. Right? And so we want an atmosphere of we're showing up, but we're just showing up so that he can show up. Are you listening to me? We're just showing up so that he can show up. And if he shows up, things are going to happen. Oftentimes when I'm trying to minister to somebody, I say, what would happen if Jesus walked through that door and came over here and was praying for you? First of all, he probably wouldn't pray. He'd say, be healed. He'd say, come out. He would say, oh, Father, if it be your will. He'd say, no, in the name, be healed, be whole, be well. Right? And so we need to start creating an atmosphere where we're just, it's just pregnant with expectation that God's going to move. God's going to move. Why? Because he wants to. Because it's his will to.
Amen.
Let me just say this. Do you know that Jesus was the perfect will of God personified?
Amen.
Jesus, when people came to him to be healed, never went, well, I'd really like to, but God's put that on you to teach you something. I'd like to, but I've prayed for these four and I'm kind of out of anointing.
Amen.
Right? Or listen, you don't qualify because God loves this group, but he doesn't love this group. Are you with me? God loves you because you're a man, but you know, women, not so much. None of that. None of that. None of that. And so we have to have that same expectation. Are you breathing?
Amen.
Then you're the candidate for God to heal.
Woo.
You're the candidate. Come on, you're the candidate. And I'm just the person to be the go-between with the power that's been given to me to touch you. But when I touch you, honey, it's not me touching you. It's Jesus touching you through me. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I want to just hit a couple of scriptures here because there's just such an expectation inside of me.
Amen.
I'm not satisfied.
Amen.
I am not satisfied with the results that I've had. And I'm not even going to try to figure out, well, is that because I have a lack of faith or they have a lack of faith or that? Shh, forget all of that. If I'm here, then there's faith in the room.
Yeah.
If you're here, there's faith in the room. Well, how do you know that? Are you saved?
Yeah.
If you're saved, it took faith for you to be saved, so obviously you have faith.
Right?
Right? We're just going to start acting like God's word is true and have an expectation, right? And again, not limiting the Holy Spirit or trying to put him in a box. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us in conjunction with the Word of God, it always has to be in line with the Word of God. You can't be outside of the Word of God and be led by God. Everything that you hear from the Spirit has to be able to be filtered through the Word of God. If it can't, it's not the right Spirit. Right? So everything has to be based on the Word. But listen, I've had, in miracle services, right? And when we were in Africa, you know, Friday night's our miracle service and you're going to preach it. Okay. That can be a little intimidating. Okay, there you go. Do miracles. If I was the one trying to do miracles, it would be intimidating. But I'm just the one that God used to do miracles. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So I got up and preached the gospel. Because the power for miracles is in the gospel. Right? You preach the gospel and miracles are a byproduct of the gospel. So I'm preaching and getting toward the end, and I got this word. There's somebody in here that's got a messed up knee, something with the knee. All right? So about five people came up with knee issues. The first lady came up, and I started to pray for her, be healed in the name of Jesus, and a voice came out of her that was not her voice. And she started to do some gyrations. And so what did I do? In the name of Jesus, you cannot manifest here because you don't belong here. And in the name, you got to come out of her. And the demon came out and she was healed. Amen. Right? But watch this. Wasn't me.
No.
Don't blame me. I didn't do it. I just did what he said. Right? But if he said nothing, I could still lay hands on the sick because I have the authority and the power of attorney to do so. And it's not my job to get anybody healed. It's just my job to lay hands on people. Right? But the more I lay hands on people in faith, the more I know that people will be healed. We've got to just get this expectation. We're going to church tonight. We're going to see miracles. Why? Because we see them every week.
Amen.
We see them all the time.
Amen.
Right? One more story. I was down with Janine. We were doing a pastor's conference, right? In Tijuana. Beautiful thing. And Jackie was there, you know, because they feed everybody in these pastor's conferences. It was awesome. Just a beautiful experience. So I'm preaching along and I have this word of knowledge that, you know, a foot problem. And I'm looking to all the pastors and thinking, well, it's got to be one of these, the folks who came. That's awesome. But lo and behold, it was Janine. And she had shoes, but she had lifts in one shoe because one leg was not the same as another. But that word of knowledge, she came forward and God healed her. To where she had to get rid of the lift. And I don't think you've worn them since, have you?
No.
Oh, yeah. See, but again, it was the word of knowledge that was in operation, but I have to be open to that.
Right.
Right? But God's going to use that. He'll do that. And sometimes it won't make sense to you.
Right.
But you just say it anyway.
Yes.
You just do it anyway. Why? Because I'm the vessel that God wants to use at that time. And He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Let's look at a few scriptures. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. What would Jesus do if He came in to your house and your mother-in-law was laying sick? Or your daughter, or your son, or, you know, whatever. What would he do? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What does that mean? What he did then, he'll do now. Let me say that again. What he did then, he'll do now. Why are we going through the scriptures? Why are we looking at all of these miracles? Because I want us to get inside of ourselves. If he did it to Simon's mother-in-law, He'll do it to my mother-in-law. Well, you can't because she's gone. But he'll do it to my daughter. We'll do it to my friend. We'll do it to my... I have to have an expectation that the Spirit of God wants to use me to bless somebody else. And this is not just for healing. Healing's involved. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to minister to people and didn't know what I was going to say. Years ago, I had a situation where a young lady had committed suicide. I'm going to the family to you know. But I'm driving. I was still working full time, so I'm driving, and I didn't have a manual. They didn't teach us on what to say to somebody in Bible school that was in this situation. But I prayed in the Holy Spirit, just said, Lord, I believe that you're going with me. See, I still believe the Word of God where Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self-same hour, I'll give you the words to speak. I still believe that's true. I count on that all the time. And so going, and the Lord gave me something to say that could minister to them that was much better than what I could come up with on my own. And I can't tell you how many times that has happened over the years. But it all is based on this, that His Word said that when I became born again, His Spirit came to dwell on the inside of me. So He's not just around me when I'm under the anointing in church. He's with me. He's with you 24/7, right? But we've got to have an expectation that He's going to begin to use us. How's He going to use us? The same way He was used.
Amen.
Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it before, He'll do it again. Right? If He did it before, He'll do it again. And I don't care how many times you get knocked down. And some people, they pray for somebody and it doesn't work. And so they go, well, I'm going to quit. It's not your right to quit. If Jesus is your Lord, then you're under His Lordship. And so if He says to go minister to somebody, even if you haven't had somebody heal before, you go anyway.
Yeah.
This one man who he just felt God. He read some of these things. So he'd go into grocery stores. He'd go everywhere looking for people to pray for. And he said he prayed for over 100 people with nothing happening. Yeah. 100 people with nothing happening. But then God started moving.
Amen.
And miracles, not in church, but on the street, in the store, Walmart, anywhere. We need to begin to have that expectation. It wasn't because he was special. It's because the Jesus in him is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. And if it was true for him, it's true for us. Well, another story. I heard this story today. I thought it was so beautiful. There's a man, I don't remember his name, but he was a professor, a teacher at Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And one of the classes that he was doing was supernatural, you know, manifestations. And he was preaching on this, and the Lord, on his way to school that day, the Lord spoke to him and said, there, in your class, there's going to be 32 people who have physical deformity. And I want you to pray for them. Now, first of all, really, is that you, God? And I'm almost sure that it wasn't God put something, you know, with this booming voice out here that said, today.
No.
It was something right in here. Just that still small voice. A thought came up from his spirit and said, today. And so he wasn't bold enough to say there's 32 people, but he said, the Lord pressed upon me that there's going to be people in here who have physical deformities and from birth, and he wants to, you know, he wants to heal you. And so they, sure enough, people came up. Guess how many? 32, right. So he prayed for one who'd had a club foot and was bent backwards and whatever. It was instantly healed and straightened out. Watch this, but listen to this one, because this is the one that I want to get through to you. There was a woman there that had physical deformity in her face, and so she combed her hair always to hide that, you know, so that people wouldn't see the deformity in her face. And he went to lay hands on her, and the Lord began to speak to her, and he pushed her hair out of the way. And he said, I felt from behind me a hand stretch through me and touch her. It was his hands, but it was Jesus touching her hand. And he said, I felt like her face became like clay. And all of a sudden things started moving. And by the time he finished praying for her, her face was perfectly symmetrical, perfectly beautiful. Are you with me? Is that a miracle? Yes. Is that Jesus? Yes. But did Jesus just do that for him or for her? He wants to do that through us. We have to, again, this isn't about me. When I'm laying hands on you, it's not about, you know, I need to get a couple more healing notches on my belt. So I hope we're successful here. It's got nothing to do with me. I have to understand that the compassion of Jesus sees a sick mother-in-law and immediately does something about it. That's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go with me to, oh man, I'm so excited. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that in Hebrews it says that the old covenant was done away because a better one came? Right? So if there was something that happened in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, which was good, and we have a better one, doesn't it just make logical sense that the results should be better?
Amen. That's
right. Right? So back, go ahead and exit. Excuse me. What did I say? Exodus 15, 26. And God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God to do what is right in His sight. Tonight, He told you to lay hands on the sick. That's right in His sight. Give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes. I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the same Jesus, the same God, the same person who said this is saying it tonight. I am the Lord that heals you. I am tonight. I am the Lord that heals you. I'm not going to try to get you healed. You don't even try to be healed. Just say, I'm in the presence of the Lord that heals. I'm laying hands on people and the Lord, I'm in the presence of the Lord that heals. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tonight we're going to see some things. Even watching online, if you'll just believe, if you'll just receive as we pray, God's going to do awesome things. We have testimony after testimony. Let me tell you a testimony. This was years ago. It's kind of a funny story, but there was a lady who was in our ministry. This was way back, probably 87, 88. We're in this little meeting that we're holding church. There's, you know, probably five families in the whole group. And there's a lady who was very pregnant, you know, like 7 or 8 months along. And she came up for prayer for her back. And you know, it was one of those where you could almost see the shape of her back was like this. I began to lay hands on her, and you could hear pop. You could hear straighten. People behind that were standing behind, I felt that. And you could just, and her curvature of her spine was immediately made straight. But Jesus is the same tonight as he was back then. Jesus is the same as he was with the woman who he formed her face with his hands. He's the same. And watch this. It's not about you. In other words, I didn't do anything to be good enough to be saved. I can't do anything good enough to be healed. I just have to understand it's his grace toward me, and I just receive it. I just receive it in Jesus' name. All right, go to Psalms. Yeah, let's. Well, actually, let's go to Acts. Most of you know this verse, Acts 10:38. Can anybody quote it? Does anybody remember? Acts 10:38. It says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Do you realize that you're anointed?
Amen.
When he said, all authority has been given unto me, go ye therefore, he said, that same anointing that I had, I'm still have, but it's being used through my church. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing those that he liked. Those who were of the right, you know, religion. Those who were of the right sex. Those who had enough money. No. It says those went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I'm not shooting for a few.
Amen.
On Wednesday night, I'm not shooting for a few. I'm not shooting for, you know, a little. And again, it's not about me. It's about presenting Jesus.
Amen.
I believe he wants to touch us.
Amen.
I believe he wants to heal us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And here's another thing. I just want to say this. You say, well, yeah, I was there last week and nothing happened. We'll come back next week. Because we're going to contend.
Right.
Yeah, but I've been up there four times and nothing. Come back.
Yeah.
Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Because we're going to contend for your healing. Hallelujah. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him.
Amen.
Is God with you tonight?
Yes. Is
God with me tonight?
Yes.
He's the same God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God. He is the Lord that heals us. Let's go back to Psalm 103. I love this psalm. I love this psalm. I'm not going to get all the scriptures in tonight, but we're going to get enough to where we can pray in just a minute. Listen to this. Verse 1 of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oftentimes when we're going through something, our attention is on us.
Amen.
Our attention, I didn't do something, or I'm in pain, or God hasn't done something. Why hasn't he done anything for me? And our attention is on us.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I should have, maybe I could have, maybe I would have, all of those, and our attention is on us. Tonight I just want you to forget all of that. And I want you to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Sometimes I get the picture of this, like David is saying, soul? Soul? you're going to bless the Lord. And all that is within me, I'm going to bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Did you know you have a benefit package? Right? It's like if you got hired tonight at a brand new job, the HR would come. Here is the benefit package. Here's your retirement. Here's your health care. Here's blah, blah. You've got a benefit package. Well, the minute that you got saved, you got a benefit package. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquity. You know what that should do to shame? It should just absolutely cut it out.
Amen.
Oftentimes I think it's like this, that we think God's ashamed of us when Jesus actually took our shame and carried it away. So God says, what in the world are you talking about? Shame. I see you covered in the blood. Who forgives all of our iniquity, and He heals all of our diseases.
Thank you, Lord.
All. I just got to read some more. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I didn't do anything in here. I'm just remembering and telling myself what He did. He's done it. He forgave my sins. Do you understand? I am seated with Christ in heavenly places tonight. Now, when I die and I put off this body, I'm going to be in heaven. I know that. But the reality is that tonight I'm with Him there right now. Because it's part of the benefit package.
That's right.
Did you know that Jesus, if He was here and He was introducing you, He wouldn't say, well, here's Bruce. He's not quite as good as this one, but he's okay. No, he would say, this is my brother.
Yeah.
Right here. This is my brother. Do you understand? I'm so proud of him. I'm pleased to introduce my brother to you. And the Father would say, hey, stop. This is my son. See, when God from heaven yelled down and He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, because we're in Christ. He said to you, this is my son. This is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased, because I've taken away their iniquity and they're right with me. Whew, glory to God. But He heals all of our iniquity. Isn't that good? It's so good. Let's pray. I'm not finished, but that's where we're going to stop. Father, we just thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You, Lord, that we're going to, in a minute, do what You told us to do. We're going to lay hands on one another. We're going to see Your miracle power working through us. And Lord, it's not about me laying hands on anybody. It's about us believing that the power of God is resident on the inside of us. And we're going to lay hands on people. And just as they told Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law, Lord, we're telling You tonight, we're talking to You tonight about all those who are watching online, all of those who are tuning in online. We're just telling You about them right now, Lord, and we're just declaring Your healing power to go into them right now and affect the healing right now in Jesus' name. I believe there's somebody with arthritis that is hurting you pretty bad right now. You're watching, and that arthritis is really stiff. If you'll begin begin to move your hands. I believe in the name of Jesus that arthritis is leaving. I thank you, Lord, for that. You're going to be able to walk and it's not going to hurt as much in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening people, strengthening bodies, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we dismiss the service, Father, I thank you that you're going to work miracles in the room, but I thank you for doing it over Facebook and YouTube right now in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, tonight's the night. He's going to work in you. He'll touch you. Don't worry about being saved or not saved. If you're listening, you're a candidate for Him to heal you, to touch you, to bless you. He's doing it right now. He's showing Himself to you. Yield yourself to Him in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thanks you for watching in Jesus' name.